Here's your money briefing for Tuesday, September 14th. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal. We've talked on the show before about how, despite the extra work hours, many employees have settled into working from home during the pandemic and giving second thoughts about eventually returning to the office. But some employers feel that staff members working remotely, especially from cities with a lower cost of living, shouldn't get paid as much.
The case that some of the workers have made is just that I am equally productive at home. And in some cases, I'm actually doing more work than I did when I was in the office. So then how does it make sense to reduce my pay if my output has actually increased during the pandemic?
Our reporter Katie Binley has been talking with employers who see employees who've relocated as an opportunity to save on labor costs and employees who are pushing back. We'll talk with her about it after the break.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
We often hear about the case for equal pay for equal work, but should people working in a remote location be paid any differently than those working closer to the office or who've returned to the office? Some employers say yes, and that doesn't sit well with some remote workers. WSJ reporter Katie Binley has been checking in with companies and workers on both sides of the argument, and she's here to talk about it. Katie, thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
So Katie, how have companies traditionally thought about location in determining an employee's pay? And how has that changed more recently?
Geography has played a pretty big role in employee compensation. You know, you would have geographic pay bands in many cases where if you lived in New York or San Francisco, where the cost of labor is higher, then you would have people making more money. And then if they lived in areas where the cost of labor is lower, then they would be making a bit less. What's now kind of changed is that tons of knowledge workers are now remote. And so geography is now being questioned as, people are kind of just asking themselves like, hey, is this still how it should be that where I live is playing such a large role in how much I make? And perhaps it shouldn't have as much influence as it did previously.
You know, one thing to come out of this pandemic is how employees' work output has ramped up dramatically. You know, people spending endless hours online and on Zoom calls.
Yeah, and that's something I've heard from, you know, workers that I've chatted with who have, been working remotely and who have moved. I mean, from their perspective, you know, they're like, in some cases, I'm working more hours than I did when I was in the office. Work is bleeding into, you know, many more aspects of their day than it used to. One guy gave an example of he used to commute and now people know he's not commuting. So they'll put meetings on his calendar for 8 a.m. And that didn't used to happen. So the workday has been extended, certainly for many people, but in both directions, you know, early mornings, late nights. And the case that some of the workers have made is just that I am equally productive at home. And in some cases, I'm actually doing more work than I did when I was in the office. So then how does it make sense to reduce my pay if my output has actually increased during the pandemic? On top of that, some people have talked about, you know, their individual expenses working from home versus what they used to get from campus perks. So one woman I chatted with said, you know, she used to get her dry cleaning done at the Facebook office and eat, you know, a lot of free food there. And now she's not using those benefits anymore. So her thought is, I'm saving the company money by working from home and by not using those perks anymore. So again, why does it then make sense for me to make less?
Now, you've been following the rollout of these compensation policies and those under consideration as well. Are companies making blanket pay adjustments for remote work or considering adjustments, or does it depend on an employee's exact location?
I mean, from what I've heard, it seems to be largely driven by the location. So they might do them in bands where, like, if you're moving to these handful of cities, you can expect, you know, I'm just throwing out numbers that not that companies have specifically used these ones, but just as like a hypothetical, it might be, you know, if you're moving to LA or somewhere else with a similar cost of labor, you'll get maybe an 8% reduction or something. If you're moving to maybe like a Raleigh, maybe it would be a slightly larger reduction. So, you know, the cost of labor in those markets still is influencing it. One thing I have tended to hear from people is that some of the companies that are based in New York and San Francisco who are now recruiting from like areas with lower costs of living and lower costs of labor, what I've heard is that I've heard this from like CEOs based in those cities, that the coastal companies are offering sort of somewhere in between the local market rate and a coastal salary. So they're able to poach employees this way by this sort of sweet spot of, we'll pay you more than what a local company would, but less than what you would make if you lived in San Francisco. So in some cases, the cuts, they're not necessarily huge. Like one woman I interviewed for the story, she moved from Washington, D.C. to rural Illinois, a very small town with like a lot of farmland. And her cut was 9.5%, which some people would consider as a pretty good deal. She was able to buy a 4-bedroom house for $120,000, which would be a lot harder to do in Washington, D.C. And then another guy I interviewed who works for a different tech company, he moved from San Francisco to Austin, and his cut was 10%. So it's kind of interesting, you know, San Francisco to Austin, 10%, DC to rural Illinois, 9.5%. They took almost the same cut. So there's a range. I've heard of other people where cuts are less, other people where cuts are more. And so I don't think we yet have a ton of clarity about, you know, what exactly, you know, the cuts look like, because I do think they are different with each company.
Yeah, you mentioned companies poaching employees, and we've talked on the show before about how there were a record number of job openings and competition for workers growing. And so have companies considered that docking someone's pay based on where they live could put the company at a disadvantage?
Absolutely. I think this is a huge question for companies, is how do we sort of toe this line of, you know, not paying everyone San Francisco and New York salaries while still hanging on to our top talent and kind of giving them the flexibility that employees clearly want these days. I did a story several months ago about a handful of companies that were really just trying to make, like, turn this into a competitive advantage. So they publicized the fact that they were not going to be adjusting pay for people who were relocating, and that they were going to go with sort of these nationalized salary rates. And more companies have started doing that since I reported that story. So Okta is a, you know, this cloud software company. They originally were adjusting pay for people who were relocating. And then in April, they actually reversed that policy, and now they're no longer doing that. And they, you know, the company explained that they view it as a way to retain and attract talent.
Now, we've heard about some companies that have offered relocation bonuses for employees who wanted to move out of expensive cities and work remotely. Why would they be doing that?
A couple companies did. They were, you know, they might have offered, like, I think there were some companies that did like $20,000 one-time bonuses, and then but your salary would be reduced. So early in the pandemic, people were grateful for flexibility. It was like, wow, my company is going to let me go do my job from the town I grew up in. I can be near my family again. Like, I don't have to live in San Francisco anymore. So I feel like early in the pandemic, there was this sort of feeling of, you know, just being grateful for the flexibility and thinking, all right, like, I'll get the one-time bonus and then, you know, my pay will be reduced. But when you think about a one-time bonus, you got to remember that you get that check once, but your pay is now, you know, like every year your pay is lower than it would have been if you stayed in San Francisco. The guy I mentioned earlier who moved from San Francisco to Austin, he's like, I'm not actually saving that much money living in Austin. He put three offers in on three different houses that were 20% over ask, and he didn't get any of the houses. Like, it's an extremely competitive market. He doesn't feel like it's that much cheaper to go out to dinner or do any number of other things in Austin. He's gotten more space for his money, but this hasn't been this huge cost-saving move. So for him, he's planning to try to get a raise before his pay cut takes effect to offset it. So I think you're going to see more of that, of this sort of, all right, if I'm going to take the pay cut, I need to get promoted before that happens, and kind of employees trying to come up with sort of clever ways to avoid these cuts.
Now, if we assume for a moment that we'll eventually return to some sense of normalcy where a majority of people are in the office and some are working remotely, you know, how it was pre-pandemic, what would be the long-term effect of these pay cuts on remote work?
It's difficult to say right now, but there are like a couple of, I don't know, I've heard people sort of speculate about which way things could go. You know, for now, because there's so much demand for talent and for knowledge workers specifically, we're seeing upward pressure on wages. So as I mentioned in those examples earlier, you know, people who are living outside of, you know, San Francisco and New York are starting to be able to make a little more money by virtue of being able to work for these, you know, well-funded companies that can pay them a bit more than the local companies can. So you're seeing upward pressure in that sense. Longer term, I have heard people speculate that like eventually there will be downward pressure because, you know, one guy I chatted with for a story a couple months ago made the case that if you are a company based in San Francisco and you can hire a talented engineer who, you know, lives in a city where the cost of labor is lower, then why would you keep paying people really high salaries to be here? So his thought was kind of, we might eventually just see things settling somewhere a little, you know, a little down from where they are now.
All right, that's Wall Street Journal reporter Katie Binley with us. Katie, thanks for coming on our show.
Thanks for having me.
And that's your Money Briefing. I'm J.R. Whalen for The Wall Street Journal.